Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's been a crazy day today, and we have been talking to, you know, we talked to LeJean from Seven Dust earlier. We talked to Tyler from Theory of a Dead Man. Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith stopped by a little while ago. And, you know, everybody, one of the bands that everybody was asking about when we got the news on Tuesday afternoon that 107.3, the signal of WAAF, had been sold was, has anybody heard from the guys from Shinedown? And Brent, are you there?
I'm totally here. What's going on, my love?
Hi, darling. I've been waiting for you to call.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of ways we can look at this. And I know it might sound a bit, I guess I would say, unique to try to put a positive on this. But that's exactly what I'm going to do my best to do. Because if I am to be honest about, in my personal opinion, outside of every other state, outside of every other country, however you look at it, I go back almost two decades now and think about the places, the people, the moments that mean so much to me and to the band. And Boston is at the very, very top of the list. And, you know, the unique thing about what's going on here is in the industry, music is changing. And it's because of the consumption. I mean, we all knew a decade ago that it was starting to get a bit more intense in regards to how people consume music.
Well, we used to wait outside record stores at midnight for albums to go on sale. I mean, the whole way that we just deal with, it's just so different.
It is. And there is a great line, and me and you have talked about this before. There's a great line in a movie called Moneyball where Brad Pitt tells Jonah Hill in that movie, the characters they're playing, he goes, look, man, sometimes you have to adapt or die. And, you know, this is a very interesting, it's very interesting what's going on, not only in radio, but in music in general. But this is something I want to say to everybody in Boston. There's no finale here. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be final. You know, rock and roll, and I've said it for years, and it's true, It's a way of life for people. It's not just a genre of music. And I know, as interesting as this might sound from me, the universe is real. And it will push and pull you in different directions. And that's on purpose, you know. And this is happening for a reason. I don't necessarily know what it is at the moment. I'm sure everybody's a little shell-shocked in the city. I know a lot of artists have been talking about this, and a lot of that is because of just the heritage of the station, the, you know, the legendary status that is Mistress Carrie. And you have to think about that also, because this might be a turning point, but we also don't know what's around the corner. But I will tell you this, what's around the corner could be quite extraordinary. Don't know what that is just yet, but also just, you know, all these bands, all these artists, all of us in regards to this news really hit us hard because of the city, because of the people in the town. You know, we don't want them to get depressed because of this. We don't want you to get depressed because of this. And like, you know, feel as if there's not, you know, another sunrise, because there is. And I think that people need to take from what's going on here, you know, people when they band together are really, really strong. And if you unite in, you know, one of the greatest cities in the United States of America, you know, rock is not going to pass away. I mean, it's never going to happen. I mean, that's, you know, they write songs about it. And I think right now we all have to kind of digest this, understand that there's obviously going to be a sad moment in time, almost kind of a grieving period, if you will. But Mistress Carrie, my dear, you have a lot of family. You have a lot of bands out there that adore you. You know, the city of Boston, you know, we're not going to stop coming to Boston. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to start bringing the biggest shows that we can bring into Boston. And there's going to be a new life. There's going to be another moment in time that happens after this. I'm not taking anything away from the amount of, you know, the decades that, you know, AAF has been on the air. But we all need to really support one another right now, do what we can to lift everybody up, because, you know, listen, it ain't over. It's just one chapter is closing and another one is going to begin.
It, you know, it's been the
only. I know it's tough.
Well, this is what it's like, Brent. It is like being awake and alive and attending your own wake and funeral. It's the only way that I have been able to describe what it feels like, to be there and to have people talking about how much you're loved and how special things were, and you're there to hear it, because normally you're the dead one and everyone's at the wake telling your family and your loved ones how much you meant to them. And in this case, and Mike is the only other person that can understand what this is like, is that it's overwhelming, the amount of love that we are receiving from the city,
yeah,
from the fans of the station listening wherever they're listening right now, and all of the bands and the artists that have been calling, because it's weird to have people be here talking about us like we're not here anymore. It's like, but it's just, it's really strange.
Well, for doing something for as long as we've done it, and especially for a station that's been here for half a century.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a really, it's going to take, you know, obviously a big adjustment for us because we work here, but it just leaves a void. It leaves a void in radio in Boston. You know, are there other stations that are going to, you know, take up a band, you know, like Shinedown when their first album comes out? You know, are we going to take, is there another station that's going to take that risk? You know, it is. And the love and the memories and everything. It's just hard keeping it together today, yeah, man. It really is. But it's sweet and very sad.
Can you talk to us about, you know, back in 2003, back when Shinedown was in a van, and talk to us about what it was like to come to Boston for the first time, and talk to us about, you know, what your, I remember my side of us meeting, but talk to me about what it was like for you guys to come to the studio for the first time and to roll into Boston the first time.
I do remember that we had been on the road with the first album, had just come out. It was around June. I think that record came out, Leave a Whisper, the first one, in 2003. And I remember we were out kind of doing the beginning of the festival circuit before we got on an actual, like a bigger tour or what have you. But I remember coming into Boston for the very first time, thinking to myself, you know, it was one of those moments where, you know, you do a record, you get your first album done. I always say, like, you'll get your whole life to do your first record, you'll get 6 months to do your second one, which is kind of what happened. But going back to the first record, you know, when you release that first record, it's real. You know, your family, your friends, people around you, you've been working so hard your whole life up to that point to have your first album. And then that becomes a reality. I remember from a touring standpoint, when we arrived in Boston for the first time, that's where it felt like, oh, wow, this is real. Like, we're out here. We're doing it. Like, we're hustling it. And really, I remember so fondly that first time coming into Boston. It was my very first time, you know, when we were on tour and, you know, we were routed into Boston, where I felt like I was in the presence of just a really massive city that had this different kind of energy moving back and forth. The people from like all walks were just so intense, and music is a big deal in Boston, as everybody knows. But I have to be honest, when we first met, I thought it was going to be, I didn't have any preconceived notions. So it wasn't like I thought I was going to walk in. It was going to be like a shock jock type thing or something like that. I didn't know a lot about the station at that time. You know, you got to,
I was just going to throw chocolate cream pies at your naked body. That's what we were going to do.
Yeah, exactly. And, you welcomed us with like the biggest open arms. Like, I remember that. Like, I remember Fly From The Inside. It was the first single, and we were out there. And I think by the time we got to Boston, we had just recently got on the Three Doors Down tour. That was way back in the day. So it was like we were the first of four. And it was like us, and then it was Seether, I believe. And at the time, I think it was Our Lady Peace.
Wow.
And Three Doors Down was headlining.
Wow.
And but that was the thing. We had already been to a few. We had already started to, you know, play stations and this and that and the other. But if you also go back a little bit further, when we were doing the promo tour before the album even came out, I don't know if you remember all the way back there when we were rolled up in like a brown Buick with Lou Rizzo. And
that sounds like how a horror movie starts. We were rolled up in a brown Buick with Lou Rizzo.
That's exactly what it was. Like, before we even got there as a band on a tour, we were doing a promo run. It was myself, Brad Stewart, and Jason Todd at the time. Barry wasn't with us, but we were going around the United States, and we were literally, like, walking into, you know, we do three, sometimes four radio stations in a day, you know, just promoting the first single and kind of, you know, getting people to get eyes on us to what we were doing before the album even came out.
You look so different. You had this long hair and, like,
different colors.
I had hair down to my booty, man. It was long.
Yeah.
But I just remember that being, you also, when you walked into AAF, you felt like it was a big deal. Like, you could feel it. You walked in, I mean, just all the records on the wall and all the awards and all the, just the intensity of it all was just, it was amazing. And you were never rude. You know, and you were so welcoming, everybody at the station, and we would laugh, and it never had to be so serious all the time, and we would cut up. It's almost like when we met one another, it's like we'd known each other much longer.
Everybody that's listening to you right now doesn't believe you.
They were, really?
Really?
I've been telling everybody that you're ruining my reputation, Brent.
No, but you know what? You're tough regardless, but you're also tender, and you've always been like that. And you know, the station was always like that as well. The station was always really tough. You were, and this is something that people need to know also, like the reason, one of the reasons that Shinedown as a band, we have the work ethic that we do, has a lot to do with stations like AAF and the people, you know, in, you know, Boston, because Boston was never going to give it to you right out of the gate. You know what I mean? You're going to have to earn it. And you're also going to have to be, if you do earn it, you're going to have to stay consistent. And if anything, we try to not be consistent. We try to go above and beyond and be the hardest workers in the room and surround ourselves with like-minded people. But, and I'm not putting this on, man. You guys know me really, really well. I'm being very bold here. Like, Boston, Massachusetts, is one of the main places on the planet Earth that really helped us hone our work ethic. And, you know, and I don't mean to keep going back to it, because I understand how the both of you feel. I feel the same way too, where it's kind of like you're at a wake and everybody's kind of talking about you, but you can't look at it like that. I mean, you need to have a process of, wow, this is not what I was expecting, but there's something else going to happen.
We're trying.
It's going to be amazing. You got to put it out into the ether, though. You got to put it out into the atmosphere.
People got to keep dropping cases of beer off on the front steps.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, look, I'm that guy. It's funny because Zach always tells people, he's like, with me personally when we're discussing a tour or something like that or what we've not done yet, I'll just say it out loud. And Zach's always, yeah, this man is the king of just saying stuff. And then the funny thing about that is I go, well, yeah, I have to say it so that it happens. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to just put it out there. So I know that there's tears. I know that there's sadness, but we also have to laugh and we have to put our arms around each other and kind of get into it with one another. But just like a phoenix, man, you rise out of the ashes. And I don't think that everybody, and you're right, Mike, you know, you're talking about a history and a family and a foundation that, you know, is almost, you know, larger than a half a century. But there's going to be an element here where I think everyone in the city of Boston is going to have to accept this for a moment, but I want to let you guys know, and I don't have a plan just yet in my mind. Believe me, I'm starting to construct it when it comes to the city of Boston and what's happened here, because everything does happen for a reason, but this is, in my opinion, uncalled for. And there's a way that us as musicians, as performers, as entertainers, that we are, you know, I'm letting you guys know, like, we're already talking to each other, if you catch my drift, and going, how do we build this back? You know, if it's not going to be AAF, how do we make sure that Boston does not lose that foundation? So the wheels are turning, believe me. But Boston needs to know, just from Shinedown and especially AAF, we love you and adore you. And, you know, no one is checking out, if you know what I mean. This is just another chapter that's getting ready to begin.
I asked Mike Hsu when we got here today, I told him that by the time midnight comes around and they flip the switch on the signal, that we both had to name our top five moments at WAF over our careers. And thinking back, for me, I go back a couple years ago to the Xfinity Center show when you guys played with Godsmack. Mm. And,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody for years now, since 2004 when you recorded it, has associated Simple Man with, you know, Shinedown and WAAF and that moment in the studio. And you guys sell out the Xfinity Center and, you know, we're all there and we were hanging out and the three of us were, you know, backstage, we were doing interviews with you, me and Mike and you. And then you guys in the middle of the set, you know, you bring me out on this stage and you play Simple Man and you had the whole crowd sing the song to me. And it was the most overwhelming feeling to have that moment, to stand there and to feel what it's like to be you guys, you know, like Mike and I sit in this padded room and talk into microphones. We don't get that feeling of creating this music and then getting to perform it in front of these giant crowds of people and to feel that energy come back at you. And that day, and people are texting about it that were at the show, and to have that memory and to have that experience. And I cried then and you know, Jesus, I can't stop now. But to see the same band that got out of that brown Buick with Lou Rizzo and come into my studio.
Yeah. Yep.
To see you on that stage, commanding that, be what that moment in our studio so many years ago turned into. And to be part of that moment is one of my top five. And thinking about it now, it's like, holy crap. Like, that really happened.
Yeah.
And I see the cell phone videos. So many people put them up on YouTube. And my cousin was in the crowd. And, you know, people were videotaping it from every angle. And if you watch the video, you can search for it. I just have my hands over my face because I was just in awe of this moment. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen after midnight. We don't know where our careers are going to go. But as long as I have this platform now to be able to publicly thank you back for giving me that moment.
And to, oh my God.
And Sherry, to know.
Thank you. I'll tell you the truth, too, about that that day. It was one of those things where, you know, you remember back to the studio with that song particular. And I know that there's people listening to this right now that may not know the whole story of how that became a moment and how that particular song by Lynyrd Skynyrd, which is the song Simple Man, completely like shifted the trajectory of where this band was going, just kind of in the universe, if you will, because moments like that don't happen.
We dug the audio out. We played it yesterday. The interview that led up to it, we played it yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, that was something when we were in the moment of when it happened at the studio. You'll remember this. But we were in a studio, and you were having bands that were coming through town, like do some covers, this and that and the other. And we had learned like an obscure cover from, I think it was Stone Temple Pilots. We tried to play a song called All in the Suit That You Wear, and it was a train wreck. And like we started it off, and by the time we didn't even get to the chorus, I was just like, nope, nope, stop, stop. And like, this is awful. And for whatever reason, a couple of weeks prior, we were in Jacksonville playing a little club called the Freebird Cafe. Now, you have to remember, this is around 2003. Jason Todd, the guitar player, the original guitar player for Shinedown, was married to Melody Van Zandt. So a lot of people don't know that when I was in Jacksonville kind of creating Shinedown, at a certain point in time, I kind of ran out of money from Atlantic because we were writing and writing and writing. And Judy Van Zandt, who is Ronnie's widow, the original singer for Lynyrd Skynyrd, she said, you don't need to leave Jacksonville. I got you. Like, I got a guest house. You can stay there. She let me stay in her house for 9 months, rent-free.
Wow.
And I was like, I have no way of paying you back. And she's just like, I'm not worried about that. And so we get on the road, and we're touring and stuff like that. And, you know, we come back to Jacksonville. And I had learned the song like the night before we played Jacksonville, and I sang it to her on stage that night. Now, fast forward about 2 weeks from that night, we're in Boston, Massachusetts, at AAF, butchering a Stone Temple Pilots song, and stop it. And I'll never forget, Brad Stewart at the time looked over at me and Jason and said, do Simple Man. And I was like, no. And he's just like, do it. I was like, and the only reason I was apprehensive of it is, it's freaking Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd on probably, what, 4 or 5 million people at that time were probably listening at a time. You know, this was 2003. And I was afraid I was going to mess up the lyrics because I didn't know if I remembered the third verse. And we just winged it, you know, and we did it. And it was so not rehearsed. And it was so real, and it was a moment in time, and it was a very special moment in time. But little did we know that this amazing radio station, and this is at the time with websites where, like, MP3s were just kind of becoming a thing. And you could, like, on your website, you could, like, stream songs. And you guys had recorded it, and you put it on your website. We left Boston, came back. I don't know if it was, like,
6 weeks later.
6 weeks, 8 weeks later. And as we came back into the station, you looked at us and you said, we recorded when you guys did Simple Man. I was like, oh, cool. And you said, yeah. And we put it on our website and it's been downloaded over 500,000 times. And we were like, what? And so we ran down to Sanford, Florida. We recut a couple of songs and we cut the song just like it was, just not thinking about it, you know, just kind of doing it, cut it in two takes, and the rest is history.
Can I play you?
You fast forward.
Can I play it for you? Hold,
sure.
Not the song. I want you to hear the interview. I want you to hear.
My God.
I have it right here. So yeah. Hold on. I'm going to put
this
that.
This is good.
This is how it went down in the studio. This is what Brent's talking about. We're talking to Brent Smith from Shinedown. We're talking about the moment. I have the audio. This is what it sounded like. You guys have played in the studio before, and everybody loves the acoustic stuff that you guys do. And since you guys were here last, a lot of the bands that have come up to play acoustic have busted out some really obscure cover tunes. Like El Nino did it last, and they played...
We have one called Trainwreck.
and we just
figured it out.
And they played Ordinary Love by Sade.
Wow.
Which was a little bizarre to hear that, but it was all right. It was cool. So
why did they play Smooth Operator? Well, you know. You should have done that. But, you know, that's cool. Whatever.
I don't know why. They came in and I said, do you guys know any other songs besides yours? And they're like, well, we have one specially done for you.
Oh, man. Well, we didn't know that you wanted that.
Well, no. I just was curious because you guys are musicians and you carry acoustics around with you. I wasn't sure if you guys just like to jam out on some other stuff, not on stage per se, but just to play for fun.
We usually don't. We don't really do any covers actually, but apparently we're going to do one right now.
Yes, you are.
I got to remember those lyrics too. Let's blame it on that. We'll blame it on that.
That would be much better.
What? Because you just woke up?
No, the song's just, you know, it's a good song.
And you don't want to screw it up.
I want them to play it.
Oh,
them two.
Okay.
Just Jason and Brent.
Oh, you guys are going to try it, just the two of you.
Oh, what?
No,
I'm just trying to keep up.
No.
Now you guys lost me.
No, different song. Different song.
I'm lost.
Next
question. What's happening?
Come on, Jason.
Oh, God.
What are you doing? Somebody tell me.
Don't you love it when we get on the radio? No, if you want to do it,
yeah,
we'll do it.
Do it.
If I mess it up, man, Ronnie's going to freaking strike me with lightning.
Yeah, dude, I don't know about that.
Come on, dude.
Don't mess it up, dude. Ronnie's going to kill me. God damn.
That's what it sounded like, Brent.
Oh, my gosh. That brings back so many memories.
Right? First of all, our voices have both gotten two octaves deeper.
Actually, when it came on, I was like, you sound exactly the same.
What?
I feel like you sound exactly the same. I don't think anything has changed. But I have to say this, like, you move into what you just said a little while ago, too, about when you came up on the little stages, because that was when we were doing amphitheater. So, like, in the middle of the show that we were doing, I think it was last year or it was 2018. Yeah, it had to be last year. And we were doing these three stages out in the crowd because we'd never seen that on a show before, like, with amphitheater. So, like, everybody's at the, you know, the main stage and you stay there. And we were like, let's go out into the crowd. Let's like put three stages out there or four stages and like shift it. So anyway, long and the short of it, we get out there and I had to make sure John, our head of security, had you placed near me, near my stage.
Yeah.
Because I was like, when we do it, I'm going to have you like make sure she, like you're going to bring her up, tell her to go up.
Yeah. And all he says is you're not going to want to miss it. So we want to move you so that you'll have a good seat. Like, we want you to be up close because you're not going to be able to see very good from over here.
And because, you know, with that size audience, and we had played that amphitheater quite a few times, but it was the first time where we were headlining it.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that you were able to get up there with me and see what you had been a part of creating. And by the way, that doesn't die. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't cease to exist. People will carry that night with them, you know, for years. And guess what? We're going to have other nights together. Mike, same thing goes for you too, brother. You know, you got to look at, as difficult as it is, you have to be optimistic and you have to look at your knowledge and what you know. And one of the things that you know, Carrie, is you know a great song. You know when a band is genuine. You know how to pick out talent. Mike, I'm sure you're the same way. You wouldn't be in the industry if you didn't know. And that doesn't change either. There are going to be moments and there are going to be more artists that are going to be, you know, are going to have a career because of you all. Whether that be in the past, in the present, and in the future. I strongly have to urge you to be optimistic and to understand that you're not alone in the industry, that you have me and you have a lot of people not just in the musical side of performers, but people in the industry as a whole, like, you know, the foundation of the promotion team at Atlantic Records, who you know very, very well, you know, those people love you, you know, other, you know, record labels from Universal to Capitol, like you name it, like not only AAF and that knowledge, but also you guys as people, you're not alone. Under no circumstances. And like I said, I don't mean to keep being a broken record here, but it's because it's true. One chapter will finish and another one will begin.
Well, it's when it comes to chapters, when it comes to, you know, you looking at a 50-year legacy of a radio station in this city, you know, there are people, there are bands. I mean, we just had Tom Hamilton in here from Aerosmith, you know, an hour and a half ago, yeah, talking about what that band means to the fabric of this city and the mm-hmm. fabric of this radio station. And it's impossible to write the book of WAF and not have there be Shine Down in it. Like, right. it's just impossible yeah. to.
And that performance where, you know, just listening to that yesterday and just now, it was like you guys were. It was almost like you were kind of gathering the lightning to put in the bottle. It was like, I'm not doing it. Nah, you can do it. Come on. And it was just, it was seemed, I listened to it more. It's like it was swirling around and you guys were able to get that moment that really it's that moment as maybe a musician or someone who does something live like we do, does something in public where it's that moment that you feel it. It's not just what you're hearing. It's what you're feeling. And you get addicted to that moment. And you're always reaching for that feeling of that particular spontaneous just magic that happens.
I'll never forget, yeah, and I'll never forget Lou Rizzo, who, if anybody doesn't know this, Lou Rizzo is our rep in the Northeast for Atlantic Records. He's been with us for 21 years, I believe, now. Still to this day, you know, even after that moment in time, he still reflects on that moment just in his career, also in radio, where, like you said, Michael, he was like, when that happened in that studio, I remember him telling us, you know, look, I've been in a lot of stations and I've seen a lot of interesting things, but he said, I don't think I've ever seen something more authentic where yeah. actual energy was swirling around the room, you know, where, and like you said, as a pretty amazing way to do the analogy, Mike, you know, the lightning you were, you know, we were all kind of prepping yeah. this lightning we didn't know existed just yet, but it was being created to be.
Yeah, the tension was there. You didn't want to do it. And, you know, it was the tension that brought it all together. And then you just started doing it. Yeah, and I don't know. I can't speak to how you felt while it was going on, but you could tell it was such a real, real performance.
Well,
I'll tell you this, it was definitely fight or flight.
Right. And sometimes that's the best.
One
yeah.
of those moments yeah. where like, well, the career is either going to be over yeah. in the next 5 minutes or a new part of the career is going to open.
Right.
And, you know, it was the latter, you know, there was this whole different door that opened up.
Well, 17 years ago, you know, you guys walked into the studio for the first time and, you know, like you said, we know it when we see it, and we knew it when we saw Shine Down the first time, and you guys came through town so many times, and, you know, you're not a Boston band, but you are, because we've made you ours, and nobody else can have you. You're you're honorary Boston. No matter how funny you talk, Brent, you are a Bostonian with or without the accent, and, you know, we will always love you, and all of those amazing times we've had together, they're, you know, they're just all, I mean, the text line is going crazy with people texting in about, you know, all of the different things and the baseball games and the events and the shows. And, you know, yesterday, Mike Hsu was talking about you guys at Loco Bazooka. Like, what year was that?
Jeez, that, it was raining.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was raining. And you guys, how long were the sets for the
maybe a half an hour.
And I just remember because we had to run.
Maybe a half hour.
Yeah, I just remember because my job, I was running from one stage to the next to introduce bands. And I just remember you guys started playing and I was just, I'll hang out a couple minutes because I'd never seen you live before. And I was just, like yesterday I said, I was riveted. Like, oh my God, these guys are pouring everything they have into the time they have. And when you were when you were done, you guys walked off that stage like, all right, yeah, we just own that. That's ours.
Yeah.
We just nailed that. You walked off like chest, you know, you had your chest out, you know, you had your chins in the air. You were just like, yeah, we just rocked their worlds. And I was like there going, oh my God, these guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Somebody ate their Cheerios that morning.
I'm going to be honest. And yeah, but I mean, I'll be honest, and I do want to bring it back to the people, you know, all the girls and all the guys and all the families. Like, we take that seriously. We've always felt welcomed in Boston from day one. We've always felt like we were a part of Boston's family, and that's going to continue. And because we don't take it for granted, you know. And this is, and I just have to be so vocal about it. How much. You know, we want you all to know, and the city to know. We're not going to stop coming to Boston.
Oh, we know.
No, of course not.
Hey, speaking of that, Mike Shue and I have been telling all the bands now that when you come to town, we're going to need free tickets. So we're just letting you know that we don't have a hookup with the radio station after midnight. So I'm just letting you know that we're going to hit you up for tickets the next time you're in town.
You no matter where we are in the world, both of you, you have an infinite amount of all access passes
for
all of time. So don't worry about that.
Well, Brent, we love you so much. You know, there was no way that we were going to do the last day of WAF without having you be a part of it. And, you know, Zach sent us a great message, a video message yesterday that's, you know, up on my Instagram. And, you know, we love you guys so much, and we couldn't say goodbye without you. And, you know, on a professional level, Shinedown and WAF have always done amazing things together. And on personal levels, you know, we've had some great time, just us, just hanging out. And, you know, you've always been an amazing friend, and, you know, you've picked up the phone when I call and vice versa. And, you know, that means the world to me as well. And you know, I don't know what else to say.
Listen. But you know what? Listen, I don't care that it sounds like I'm just, you know, a broken record, but because it's true, like, both of you, you know, please know from us and all the bands and the artists and the performers that we work with, that are friends of ours, you know, be that as it may, if they, you know, from the beginning or, you know, people that we're just finding out about. You know, I was talking to Josh from Bad Flower the other day, and we were talking about Boston, and then this news happened, and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. But in that same breath, I was like, I know it's hard to look at it like this, but it's happening for a reason. I don't know what the reason is just yet.
Yeah, when you figure it out, let us know.
Yeah.
We'd like to know.
About that, like, we are going to stand with you no matter what. And, you know, you're always going to be a part of our family because you have allowed us to be a part of yours. And in a lot of ways, sky's the limit. Like, you know, you take perseverance. I'm going to be honest with you both, and you know this. And, you know, Carrie, you know this very much about me. And that is, I've always told people in this industry of the music business and, you know, because the word business is in it. You know, but my job starts when they say no. And
amen.
That's kind of a moment right here for all of us. Like, and you got to look at it like that. You know, Mike talking about walking off stage and puffing your chest out a little bit. That's not meant to be cocky. It's called confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys have a ton of confidence. So remember that, too. And also remember this. You are not alone. Like I said, you have me, you have all of the industry, people that adore you. And, you know, something grand and epic is right around the corner. I promise.
Well, I dug out. I found the first time you came in the studio and you played your first single, Fly From the Inside, on April 23rd, 2003. And I dug out the recording of Simple Man that you did 8 months later. And so we're going to play those two back to back and say that we love you. And thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of our family. Thank you for being a part of our 50-year history and for, you know, just being there with us to the very end.
Hey, listen, we love you. That's not going to change. And, you know, like I said, you know, we're going to start coming to Boston more. And just know that we love you. And believe me, optimism is a savior in a lot of ways. And I know that there needs to be a time to be sad and to mourn this.
Yeah, when do we get to be drunk and mad? Can we be drunk and mad first?
12:01.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Thank you.
When the drunken mad happens, please video it and send it.
Oh, yeah.
You got it, baby.
There'll be evidence.
You got it. Brent, thank you so much.
Love you guys, and we love Boston. I love you, Carrie. Mike, I love you, my man.
Thanks, man.
You know, God bless you all. We'll see you sooner than later. And God bless Boston, man, and WAAF. All right.
Long live AAF, baby. Long live AAF.
Thanks, Brent. Yep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.